Have you ever heard that story that Napoleon used the Egyptian Sphinx for target practice and shot its nose off? Or maybe you've heard that a French astrologer named Nostradamus correctly predicted nearly 500 years of human history. Or maybe someone told you that the legendary blues guitarist Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil at a crossroads in Mississippi. These stories are what I like to call historical myths. Great little tales that may or may not have any basis in historical fact. On Our Fake History, we explore these historical myths and try to determine what's fact, what's fiction, and what is such a good story, it simply must be told. If you dig stories about death-obsessed emperors, lost civilizations, desperate sieges, voodoo black magic, and famous historical figures you thought you knew, then Our Fake History might just be your new favorite podcast. Still not sure? Then stick around to the end of the episode today to hear a teaser episode of Our Fake History. If you dig it, then subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're going to get right to it with CNN, and they're being explicit in terms of what their goals are now. Their shows are just called Afraid. We'll tell you about that. And, of course, we have some – we're going to talk a little bit about sex addiction and what motivated that kid and whether or not there was something real to that or not. Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you about Chill Wellness first. A few months ago, I told you about Chill Wellness CBD. I've been using the Mellow Mint Drops before bed. And my wife uses the Aspen's Maximum Relief Salve. At night, you roll on during the day if you like as well. Stuff just puts you in a relaxed place, at least the Mellow Mints do at night. And roll on, well, that's good for what ails you, especially if you're working out or you're stressing or you're working your body. Number one trusted CBD brand for arthritis. Moms, dads, weekend warriors, and elite athletes use Aspen Salve. It is, or salve.
Whatever you call it.
Aspen roll-on or sports stick for relief from sore muscles and stiff joints from cycling, tennis, golf, yoga, high-intensity workouts. Physical therapists and chiropractors get great results with this stuff. It is Chill Wellness, right, Matt?
To get 15% off your first order, visit chillwellness.com/ADS. Plus, as a special bonus to our listeners, Chill Wellness will include their CBD De-Stress Essential Oil Roller, a $30 value free. Don't wait. All products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to chillwellness.com/ADS. That's C-H-I-L, wellness.com/ADS for this special offer.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church. Dr. Drew's board-certified physician. He's with the addiction medicines because it's specialties.
Indeed it is.
All right, Drew, we got some Love Boat talk.
Yeah.
I got a CNN special, which they didn't air the other day, but I got the graphic off the TV set. Because remember, I was telling you everything is
just
fear.
Let's start with that.
We're just doing fear now.
Yeah.
Fear's the big thing.
Yeah.
CNN finally just went, they just leaned right into it.
That's hysterical.
It is literally the special did not air, and I'll tell you why, but they had a special. The special's called Afraid. They're now.
It's on.
They've cut right to the chase,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just Afraid.
Yeah.
Fear in America's communities of color. Afraid. Everybody's afraid.
Here we go. Well right. done, guys. Well, they caused it, and now they've called it out.
Now
it's good.
They're hammering the checks.
Why didn't it air is the question.
Because there was a mass shooting in Colorado.
Right.
And it wasn't white people shooting Asian people. It was just white people shooting white people. So
I don't think it was white people.
Or Syrian guy or wherever he's from shooting, and that didn't work well
right.
with what they were up to, because their theme is whitey and basically white supremacists preying on people of color.
I see.
That's their thing. It's never black people shooting black people. Mm. It's always white people doing this. I'm assuming.
Yeah, we don't know.
If I
know
CNN, but we didn't get to see it because a Syrian guy shot a bunch of white people. So that doesn't really work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So to that point about that guy, not that guy. I beg your pardon. The other guy. This is the one that probably triggered the afraid thing. Was the white kid that shot a bunch of Asian spa workers? Right.
Yeah. They're always it's always a little muddled because they killed. You know, they do this thing where they go, he was preying on Asians, but he killed six Asians and the other two were Hispanic or whatever. So it's kind of like, was that his mission statement? And if it was, why not all Asian? But that's how they work it.
Right. And then he tried to blame it on sex addiction or something. And this is sort of a weird move. Has that story settled? Are they still trying to say that's what he's – I mean, just because a totally nutty person, whatever they blame it on, we shouldn't be listening, right? I mean, you're
well, they're nuts.
Yeah, you're out there enough with whatever your condition is that you're starting to kill people. I don't. There's no more blaming.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I always say with whatever people's conditions are: is you get treated before that, and before you start hurting yourself or other people. Once you're doing that's it. Now it's a legal problem, no longer a mental health problem. Period.
Right.
End of story. And the idea that sex addiction is the blame is sort of bizarre. I've never, ever seen somebody start murdering people.
Well, his – all right. So here's the story. He went and shot up this business.
Yeah.
Now, the business is predominantly Asian.
Yeah.
So first things first, if you have a – let's just say there's a market – and the market is predominantly Hispanic market,
yeah,
and caters to Hispanics, which we have plenty of out here.
Yeah.
And then I have some big beef with that market, and I go in and shoot it up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to shoot Hispanic people.
Right.
But my beef is with the market.
Right.
So his history, evidently, was that he was in rehab for sex, that he had a roommate that he said, you know, take my computer. I don't want to have access to it anymore. I can't stop myself from watching porn,
right,
you know.
Right.
So he had a pretty documented history of being addicted to sex. But he evidently couldn't prevent himself from going into these places.
Yeah, but he may have had sex addiction. He had something else too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure of it.
Like this is, and people are – lots of conversations out there I'm seeing in the press. Sex addiction is not a diagnosis. It's not a diagnosis. It's like saying – it's kind of like saying he had a fever. You know what I mean? It's like not – you can't say that fever doesn't exist, but you can say it's not a diagnosis. Yeah, fever is not a diagnosis. But fever has lots of consequences, and we can talk about the things associated with fever.
Well, look, here's what I'm saying. I don't know – how you diagnose sex addiction. I would say if you went into rehab for sex addiction, you're further down the road with it than most people are.
Yes. And again, it's not a diagnosis. It's a syndrome. It's a
phenomenon. Whatever
we're
calling it.
Yeah. Right? Well, people are freaking out. It's not a diagnosis. It's DSM-5. Yeah. It's a construct that helps people with a condition, maybe with multiple causes, a condition that causes them distress, trouble functioning, and they need help with it. That's it. That's right. The construct.
Stifle yourself.
All right. What's up?
He had what he thought was an addiction.
Yeah.
In sex. Mm. He has many other problems,
yes.
I'm sure.
Yes.
He then – his plan to stop the addiction was, in a way, really just an extension of telling his roommate to take his computer.
Yes.
In a bizarre way.
Yes.
Take this away from me.
Right. Except one is a rational thought and the other is truly delusional.
It's true.
Was his plan to shoot up every spa on the planet? You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on.
I know, but
– every prostitute? No.
Taking the computer away so I can't get to the porn is not wholly rational either.
No, we really do that. We do that.
Well, I – Okay.
But that's actually recommended.
That's you. But he gave it to, like, you know, it was a sort of Wolfman, lock me in this room during a full moon so I can't hurt anybody.
Either that or his team said, hey, get rid of your computer.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I don't know.
Yeah.
He evidently, this is a story. He gave the computer, you know, he probably beat off, gave the computer to his roommate and said never again, and then went and got it back. You know, I mean, he did what...
You've said that many times. You told me over the years.
Well, it's, you know, some people...
You have the shame spiral and you're just done.
They take the booze and they dump it down the drain and they go, no more booze, and then they go out to the liquor store that night. I mean, there's a version of that with many addictions where people try to solve it that way, right?
Yes.
And then he went in, and I guess he shot up the place that was the attraction of his addiction.
His go-to.
Yeah. That's the story. Now, you can argue over sex, addiction, or diagnoses, or whatever it is.
Yes.
It's still a far bridge to build to get from there to race-based hate crime. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then they asked him, why'd you do it? And he said, that reason.
The sex addiction.
Yeah. So now everyone sits around CNN, and evidently on CNN, they know what's in his heart. But all we got is he had a history of this, and that's what he said. I don't know what else we can do about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sure everyone's digging through his Twitter and digging through his social media and trying to find things he said about the Asian community, for instance. But in an absence of that, unless you can find some, you know, meat on the bone types of tweets or correspondence about the Asian community, then it seems to me like he shot up a business that had Asians in it.
Yep, I agree.
Well, there is multiple avenues of evidence that he shot it up because of the sexual stuff, and there aren't any so far that he did it because of the culture or the race.
Right.
But if they find it, they can find it.
Sure.
And God knows they're looking, but it seems like a weird, you know, getting from here to sex addiction is a skip and a jump. Getting from here to hatred of Asians is a big bridge, and we're working very hard to build that bridge. So that's our society, and I'm sure that's where we would have got to in our CNN special had a Syrian guy not shot a bunch of white people. Now we got a problem. So they didn't air it, and I don't know if they're going to air it.
It's interesting.
It is interesting, right?
And afraid.
just calling it afraid. It's kind of like in God. What was that Mike Judge movie, Idiocracy?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an Idiocracy.
I did think of Idiocracy when I saw that.
Yeah,
so
we're
funny.
Just going to call Fuddruckers buttfuckers. Yeah. Like, we're just there. We're just going to call it that. No nuanced anything. Just afraid. You guys should be scared. Everyone, I told you the fear thing. I mean, I told you what addiction this is and how people are married to it.
Well,
and how
I think
CNN.
I think it's a collective delusional hysteria.
Right. But
weird,
look what CNN.
Weird that it's gratifying.
Look what CNN's been pumping over the last year, and now they're just getting right to it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck it. This is how we make our money.
Well, their ratings are falling. They got to jack it up.
All right.
Get back to the well.
You got a question. Well, someone at the top's had a question for a while. Why is the vaccination something vaccine? Dion.
Adam, Drew, what's up?
Hey, man.
Hi, guy. Long Island.
Hi, guy. Yeah. So, I had a question wondering about why this vaccine is the new type of vaccine that is an mRNA vaccine. I did like a little Google search on it, and I just got articles like promoting it that it was new and great and awesome. But why can't it just be like a weakened virus, you know, the old style vaccine?
Because
you know
the mRNA vaccines were the fastest to produce. As you see, the Johnson & Johnson is an old-fashioned vaccine. It's an attenuated adenovirus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Johnson & Johnson is that. essentially. I mean, it's a version of that. And this idea that mRNA vaccines are new is false. There are at least 900 publications out there, and there's multiple dozens of deployments in cancer and infectious diseases. And as you see, there are now tens of millions of people vaccinated, and they're fine. And it's working.
Okay.
The interesting thing
– right now they're fine.
Interesting thing right now, they're saying that, you know, any vaccine will help you produce the spike protein. So they're actually on the DL kind of saying, hey, just get your second vaccine with whatever vaccine's available.
Have you seen the news that came out this morning where the AstraZeneca published a thing regarding their U.S. study, and then the U.S. regulators, Fauci's office, basically came out and disputed their findings?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about AstraZeneca.
Yeah, AstraZeneca seems to be – it seems unprecedented that the regulators would come out and dispute their findings.
Well, the FDA is extremely rigid, and I think they're saying it's outdated information. I mean, it's literally they did it too long ago to be relevant today. So it's just
the findings only covered up to February, and then they release it in late March.
Right. So I don't know. It's there are around the world. AstraZeneca is probably going to be the number one vaccine because it's cheap.
All right, let's talk to Zeke. Just go down the line. Zeke, 24 from Chicago.
Hey, Dr. and Adam. How's it going?
Hi, guy.
Hi, Zeke.
Hi, guy. I'm a huge fan of you both. Adam, I'm looking forward to coming to seeing you in Waukegan in May. It'll be cool.
Thank you.
I'll go out. But anyway, it's a little north of Chicago. But anyway, my question is mostly for Drew, but both of you, I guess. So I've read stuff about the vaccine possibly being, like, if you travel, you have to get, a vaccine passport.
Waukegan was canceled.
The county wouldn't allow us.
The county wouldn't allow it.
Wouldn't allow the capacity we wanted to do, but we're sticking with Appleton the next day and the next 2 days.
All right.
I'm not surprised that things are not much better than California.
Illinois is a mess.
Up here.
Yeah. So what's the question?
Oh, yeah. It was the... Yeah, as far as vaccines for travel, do you guys support that, have it being required, or why or why not?
Well, again, it's arbitrary and bizarre. I'm much more in favor of private businesses requiring things than governments, because at least you have some free choice over that. I know as it stands, in order to do any international travel, you have to have a vaccine. I doubt that will be the case for domestic travel. What I find bizarre about it is I can show my paperwork about – I've been following my immunity with this thing called Additix Score, which is the company that I work for. And I can show that my immunity is orders of magnitude above a vaccine level, and it doesn't mean shit. Right. I just have to show a card that I got a vaccine. So I'm going to have to get a vaccine even though I don't need it, even though I'm going to get sick from it, even though I can show a much more accurate portrayal of my actual immunity with an immune profile that's a very sophisticated profile. Doesn't mean shit. I don't like bureaucratic arbitrariness. It's never good for people.
Right. And you know, I'll guarantee you the number one crew that says you need to show some identification, some paperwork, some vaccination paperwork in order to travel is the number one crew that doesn't want you to show ID to vote.
Right.
So is it
– Right.
What are you guys into? Right. Well,
you can't expect – here's what they would say. You can't expect these people to travel. Right.
Or these people to vote.
You're right.
I mean, that's really what we're talking about. Because if you want to talk about documentation, living in a society without an ID in 2021 is
– Hey, listen. Ami Horowitz made fun of that in his video. Remember?
Saw it. Yeah. All right. Let me tell you about noon immunity, paying attention to your health. Never been more important. Maybe you're traveling. Well, we're just talking about that. Training or just getting it all done. Noon immunity. It's a quick and delicious way to give yourself some TLC. Crafted blend of hydrating electrolytes, vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, ginger, and turmeric.
Turmeric.
That's what I want to say. Only 2 grams of sugar, non-GMO, gluten-free, and vegan. Just take the fizzy tablet, put it in some water, shake it on up. Yeah, don't put the lid on too tight, though. I don't want to blow that thing off. Mm-hmm. But it helps everyday immune support. Available in orange citrus and blueberry tangerine. Great as a refreshing cold drink. Also comforting as a warm beverage as well.
Comforting.
Give your immune system some daily support. Visit Noon Life. That's two U's, N-U-U-N, noonlife.com for 20% off your first order. All right. You want to go on line four?
Yep.
Let's talk to Roy, 37.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys. It's actually Rory. Rory. I hate correcting people, but I just did.
Yeah. All right. Rory.
Yeah, so great to talk to you guys. First time, long time. And my question was specifically for Drew regarding Dr. Fauci. Now, I'm not his biggest fan, and for the same reasons that Adam isn't his biggest fan. And I wanted to know, is there any truth to or any his botching of HIV handling and making it worse in the 80s? That's something that's going around the Fauci hater circles. And I hate confirmation bias.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to investigate that claim before I start reveling in it.
What is it they claimed he had done?
They claimed that he had misreported it, and it led to kind of like a kind of misreported the science of it, and kind of led to kind of a reefer madness kind of attitude towards safe sex, and actually made people kind of more prone to ignore safe sex practices. That, and also like the kind of the one thing they accuse him of doing now is taking like a kernel of information, making extrapolations from it, and then having broad policy recommendations.
Okay,
based on his political views.
So that's interesting. So he is the reason I got on the radio in 1983. He was telling us, we got to go out there and educate. We got to go out there. And I took that very seriously. We had just started calling this thing called GRIDS, gay-related intestinal disease syndrome, AIDS. We didn't have a causative agent. We didn't have the term safe sex yet. And I had great admiration for Fauci, and he was leading us through it. I was very involved during the AIDS epidemic. Now, what he did say, what he kept saying was, we're going to have 2 million dead, 2 million dead, 2 million dead. He kept chanting about 2 million dead publicly and otherwise. And we ended up with 175,000. So I learned from that he always overstates the risk. So back a year ago when I kept saying, listen to Dr. Fauci, he's going to say some very conservative things, but he will get us through this. You know, he knows how to get us through it. Listen to him. You know, he may not be accurate and it may be a little excessive. And he will then say, as he did back in 1987, good. We scared everybody and we went from 2 million down to 175,000. Mission accomplished. And we all congratulated ourselves. Then by the 90s, we were chanting so much about safe sex and everybody's going to get it and everyone's at equal risk. When that population, let's say, of high school and college students of the early to mid 90s started realizing that was an overstatement, that's when they stopped listening. So we actually learned during the AIDS epidemic multiple things about public health. A, you don't threaten, you don't talk from on high, you never exaggerate or lie. You create narratives, humor, use music, and get a relatable source and tell the story about the consequences if they don't listen to the public health messaging. We abandoned all of that in this pandemic, like completely. Mm-hmm. And that was actually – so it's not just – he didn't botch it. It was that the rhetoric that I was a part of was so excessive that in the 90s, people stopped listening. That did start happening.
Yeah.
Well, I do forgive you because you're great.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like he's double masking after being vaccinated and stuff
same
like
stuff.
That. It's the same stuff.
And by the way, back then, though, we didn't really know that we thought that's what we needed to do. We learned from the AIDS epidemic that that was wrong. And even and then we adjusted, and there was a whole discipline that developed in terms of changing health behaviors, in terms of narratives, and that's why I knew Teen Mom would work. I knew 16 and Pregnant would work because that was that model, and lo and behold, it did. But we never said, you have sex with somebody, you're killing them, you're a murderer. Now it's, you don't wear a mask, you're killing grandma.
Right.
It's unbelievable how far we have come from what we learned.
And I'm stealing this from a great Twitter follow-up, a guy by the name of Michael Malice. Mm. He's very hilarious. You should probably have him on the show. Mm. But he said that he makes a really good point he made is that masks also, in this kind of era of like insecurity and narcissism, it gives people who feel powerless the feeling that they're some kind of a life-saving superhero. And that's why they're so, like, that's where you get the, you know, the Karens, you know, chasing people down and getting in their faces.
That's
the doors,
interesting. That's
despite
interesting.
Despite the danger.
Yep, that's interesting. Yep.
Rory.
Sorry, I keep interrupting. Did you see the Fauci-Rand Paul exchange, Dr. Drew?
A little bit. I saw parts of it.
Okay, so this is something that bothers me, because I've had it, you know, obviously it's been on the news. I've seen a couple breakdowns of it. Fauci, Rand Paul asked the question, and then Fauci kind of pretends like he doesn't understand what he's asking, and then doesn't address his question, miscites some studies about the reinfection, and then gives, you know, just like a platitude about how, you know, Rand Paul says you wearing masks is unnecessary in theater, and then he says no, wearing masks is not.
Right,
so
right,
then he
right.
ends up not even
so,
answering his
so
question at
you're,
all.
You're,
and that's kind of what really bothers me
no,
the most.
No, listen,
hold on,
Rory. You're correct.
Fauci did that with the Black Lives Matter protest.
He said.
Oh yeah.
He said,
well, yeah. This is just the most recent one.
Yeah, I know. Thing. He said gatherings are bad, and then Rand Paul probably asked him, or Jim Jordan, or somebody smart said, well, then what about Black Lives Matter? And he's like, I don't, what do you mean? Like, what about a Black Lives Matter protest? Yeah. I don't, what's your question? you guys should always take note. You want to know how you know when people are lying? It's hard to tell when dumb people are lying. When smart people get dumb fast, that's when they're lying.
Yeah.
So if you see Jen Psaki doing a press conference, she doesn't know what you're talking about immediately.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Well, she's lying because she's not dumb. And when Fauci, smart guy, when he doesn't know what you're asking him, doesn't know what the question is, he's lying.
We call that politicians.
Yes,
they're
politicians. Yeah, but Fauci's not supposed to be a politician.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you can, when smart people who love talking and pontificating do one of two things or both. One is, I'm confused. I don't know what the question is. The next one is, I couldn't comment on that. You know what I mean? Like Steve Kerr, the basketball coach, who's super woke, does nothing but comment on Black Lives Matter. As soon as you ask him what's going on in China, it's like, well, I don't know anything. Oh, okay. So you're not going to talk.
Right.
But you will talk about everything, but you won't say anything about China.
Right.
So you just don't know. Because you're willing to talk about everything. So when people who talk about everything just don't know, then they're lying.
Yeah.
Yep. Or when they get dumb.
Yep.
You can find that clip, Gary. It's probably,
yeah, I know where it is.
Probably from a ways back, but it really, again, when smart people get dumb in 1.7 seconds.
Right.
That's now, look. I'm a smart person. You can ask me about computers. I don't know.
Right.
But if you go, what's your opinion on some social thing? Sit down for 20 minutes. Even if I don't know, you're going to hear it, right?
I suspect you could even complain about computers. That's a good line. Through.
Oh, I could complain about computers. I'm saying I don't know anything about them.
Right.
Let's see.
The chair now recognizes for 5 minutes Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Fauci, do protests increase the spread of the virus?
Do protests increase the spread of the virus? I think I can make a general statement.
Well, 500,000 protesters on June 6th alone. Yeah. I'm just asking, that number of people, does it increase the spread of the virus?
Crowding together, particularly when you're not wearing a mask, contributes to the spread of the virus.
Should we limit the protesting?
I'm not sure what you mean. How do we say limit the protesting?
Should government limit the protesting?
I don't think that's relevant to...
Well, you just said if it increases the spread of the virus, I'm just asking, should we limit it?
Well, I'm not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way.
Well, you make all kinds of recommendations. You make comments on dating, on baseball, on everything you can imagine. I'm just asking, you just said that protests increase the spread. I'm just asking, should we try to limit the protests?
No, I think I would leave that to people who have more of a position to do that. I can tell you.
Government stopping people from going to church, Dr. Fauci?
Yeah.
Last week in the Calvary Chapel case, 5 liberals on the Supreme Court said it was okay for Nevada to limit church services. Justice Gorsuch said it best. He said there's no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel. I'm just asking, is there a world where the Constitution says you can favor one First Amendment liberty protesting over another practicing your faith?
I'm not favoring anybody over anybody. I'm just making a statement that's a broad statement that avoid crowds of any type, no matter where you are, because that leads to the acquisition and transmission. And I don't judge one crowd versus another crowd. When you're in a crowd, particularly if you're not wearing a mask, that induces the spread.
It's a simple question, doctor. Should we limit the protests? Government is obviously limiting people going to church. And look, there's been no violence that I can see at church. I haven't seen people during a church service go out and harm police officers or burn buildings. But we know that. I mean, for 63 days, 9 weeks, it's been happening in Portland.
Right. Yeah.
Well, one night in Chicago, 49 officers were injured, but no limit to protests. But boy, you can't go to church on Sunday.
What was the?
I don't know how many times I can answer that. I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm just going to tell you.
You've opined on a lot of things, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, but I've never.
This
said
is something
to
that directly
anything.
Impacts the spread of the virus, and I'm asking your position on the protests.
Yeah, I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm telling you what it is, the danger. And you can make your own conclusion about that. You should stay away from crowds, no matter where the crowds are.
Government is
all right.
Government is stopped.
So he's lying because he's saying stay away from crowds.
You know what's interesting?
But he won't say don't have a rally.
What's interesting to me is that was wrong. You can't. It doesn't spread outside. Turns out it does not spread outside.
Right.
And that's why we didn't have a major, major surge after all the gatherings.
Right.
And that's why people are opening baseball stadiums.
He was the tip of the spear shutting down baseball stadiums.
No, I understand.
So
I understand.
He's lying.
Yeah.
As he knew it back then, you know, with the information he had. All right.
Interesting.
Well, that's when I knew Fauci was in the bag at that point.
We lost the woman whose son had been exposed to porn at age 7.
Well,
let me just say.
No, we didn't.
Oh, she's still there?
I mean, I think so.
Yeah. Janice, you there?
No, listen, Drew, she's on the fucking phone.
Oh, there. I thought you had her. She was up a second ago.
I know. I just put her on hold.
I didn't know that. Hi, Janice.
Hello. How are you?
Hey there.
Hi.
So, yeah, that is difficult. I think the average age of porn exposure is now age 9, believe it or not. What happened exactly?
So he had his iPad and, you know, he can't get on that kind of stuff on his YouTube. Which we are aware that he couldn't get on it because he plays video games that are not necessary for his age. So when he looks at video game stuff on YouTube, things pop up.
Mm.
So somehow he wound up onto a porn site. But the thing is we didn't find it for like a week later. And when we go back to the history, there was a ton of history. And I was shocked at the images, the videos he saw. And the only thing me and my husband did was tell him, this is not for you. You cannot look at this. This is not okay. And
I'm not sure that's
we didn't
right.
know how to talk to him about it. Like, what do you say to him? He's 7.
Yeah.
When you're 7, look, you understand at a very young age, this is for adults. You know, and this is not, you know, just you take something like drinking. You hope your kids don't get into drinking. My kids see me drink. They understand it's not for them. It is for me. There's driving a car. This is one of the many things that is not for you at this age.
That, and I wouldn't shame him. And
no,
all that. Your panic and stuff is not going to be good for him.
No, it's the kind of thing that, I'm not going to make it different than having a drink. Or doing other things of that nature, or driving a car, whatever. You can do them at some point. You don't want to drink excessively.
Yep. I would just explain everything to him that way. But also, could you have any questions about this and start the conversation? If I see, you know, I would take the child for an evaluation too. I hate to pathologize him just because he saw something.
But I don't know. I would have done it when I was 7. All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. There's live shows coming up all over the place. Zanies, April 14th in Tennessee, by the way. And check out our Pluto TV channel, 585. Got a lot of free stuff up there. Good stuff. Adam Carolla Goes Racing. You should watch that. Yeah. What do you got, Drew?
Check me out on TikTok at Dr. Drew. Got a couple of Adam and Drew posts up there, too. Pulled some stuff off the streaming show. And answering questions there on a regular basis, and also the streaming shows at drdrew.com.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
The 2020 presidential campaign in the United States was a pretty wild spectacle to watch. no matter what your political perspective may be. But there was one particular bit of rhetoric that jumped out at me. It was a criticism of Donald Trump leveled by Bernie Sanders that made use of a well-known historical tidbit. Here's what Sanders had to say.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs. The senator was riffing on one of the best-known stories from the history of ancient Rome. That is, that during a great fire that consumed the Roman capital in the year 64 AD, the self-absorbed Emperor Nero not only did nothing to help, but laughed and played the fiddle while his city burned. It's the kind of story that many people know, even if they know absolutely nothing else about Roman history. For a whole lot of people, the history of Rome is basically just Julius Caesar, beware the Ides of March, and Nero fiddled as Rome burned. So, in a way, it's not surprising that this story has proved so enduring. It's just too perfectly symbolic. If you need a historical example of the ruling elite being hopelessly and heartlessly out of touch, I mean, this is it. Nothing quite says, I could care less, like playing a jaunty little tune on the fiddle. But we really should ask, is any of this true? Did the Emperor of Rome really sit back and put on an impromptu hoedown as his city crumbled beneath his feet? Well, here's the thing. If he did, there was no way he played the fiddle. In 64 AD, the violin hadn't even been invented yet. The instrument as we know it today wouldn't come into being for another 1,400 years at least. To give you some historical context, Nero playing the fiddle is basically the same as Charlemagne shredding the electric guitar. In 64 AD, the violin was an impossibly futuristic instrument. But we do know that Nero was an amateur musician and was particularly fond of an instrument known as the lyre, which was a small Greek harp. He was known to put on long recitals for his advisors where attendance was mandatory. So the original story was that Nero actually played the lyre and sang as the great fire ravaged Rome. But there's good reason to doubt that story too. The most trustworthy Roman sources inform us that the Emperor Nero wasn't even in Rome when the Great Fire broke out. In fact, we're told that the Emperor rushed back to the city as soon as he was informed so he could personally oversee the relief effort. So, Nero didn't fiddle as Rome burned, and he didn't play the lyre. He didn't sing. He didn't sit back all smug and laugh as his people suffered. He learned about the fire through messengers and did his best to respond. Now, that doesn't mean that Nero was somehow a good emperor or even a good guy. In fact, he was probably one of the worst. But the fiddle, well, that just wasn't a thing. Nero fiddling as Rome burned is a perfect example of what I call a historical myth. A little legend that got wrapped up in the transmission of our history and often gets repeated as a historical fact. My name's Sebastian Major, and on the podcast Our Fake History, we explore these historical myths and try to determine what's fact, what's fiction, and what is such a good story that it simply must be told. The podcast is one part storytelling and one part historical detective work. I do my best to bring these weird stories from our past to life, while also asking probing questions about whether or not we should believe them, and how these misunderstandings took root in the first place. On Our Fake History, the goal is to celebrate everything that's weird and wonderful about the past, while also thinking critically and trying to grab on to the slippery concept known as the truth. If Our Fake History sounds like it's for you, then subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.